The Army wants to cut back the time it takes to award IT contracts as it continues to reorganize its acquisition office. Meanwhile, the Air Force has grave concerns about the possibility of sequestration. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joins me in studio with the latest. So even though the NDAA seems to be headed toward law, there's lots to worry about in the military services beyond all of that. And so let's start with the Army, Scott. What's going on with their acquisitions office and what are they aiming at?
Last month, they announced that they're reorganizing their acquisition office. And this is the first big reorganization that they've had since really the Vietnam era. It's been a long time, you know, 40 years or so. And what they're trying to do is just speed up contracts, streamline things, cut down on the amount of bureaucracy and offices that they have, all those kind of things. So General Mark Milley, who's the chief of staff of the Army, he spoke recently at an event at the Ronald Reagan building. And, you know, he said that right now, and as we all know, information technology, the spin cycle for that's about 18 months. When it comes to actually awarding contracts, DoD is a lot slower than that.
And this all comes at a time, interestingly, they want to simplify and streamline at the time when the military services are receiving back from the Pentagon a lot of purchasing authority for the items and platforms that are specific to the services. Part of that breakup we talked about last week with respect to the Acquisition Technology Logistics Office at the Pentagon. So the Army's taking on more this year, correct?
Yeah, and you know, this probably goes back to that about 2 years ago when the NDAA gave the military service chiefs their own acquisition authority over milestones. So they, you know, like you said, they own their own programs. So now that they have this new authority, they're trying to make things go faster instead of letting AT&L, Acquisition Technology and Logistics, go in front and do all this kind of stuff. They're saying, okay, we're going to move ahead and try and simplify things because we have a lot more that we're in charge of at this point.
Now, there's a gambit going on in the military to have these marketplaces, however, they'll take shape for a lot of commodity and MRO items. And so the Army, though, is focusing on IT, which would not come under that category. So what is it they're specifically trying to do to speed up the acquisition of IT?
I think that's something that they're not exactly sure yet what they're going to do. One of the things that they're looking at are other transaction authority contracts. That's something that DoD itself is already looking at, too. Ellen Lord, the Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, said she wants to cut contracting time by 50% using OTAs. And if you're not familiar with those, they're kind of the cool thing going on right now in DoD. They were big in the 90s. They're making a comeback. And
what are they?
They're OTAs, other transaction authorities. And a industry will get together with a bunch of companies that are not DoD, traditional DoD companies, and they will create a consortium. And that way, DoD doesn't have to go through the regular acquisition process. They can award something because it takes in these other sorts of companies that aren't DoD related. It's kind of broadening the marketplace, basically.
Well, what if the Army just simply used, say, the GSA civilian-oriented services and IT contracts, the government, the GWACs?
Yeah, I mean, that's also a possibility they could do. You know, there's a million options that they're looking at. And right now they have General James Cordone, who is kind of looking into how this all works. And he's going to be coming out with a plan, hopefully by the end of the year, maybe a little bit after that. And then they want to implement this new acquisition process in summer of 2018.
Sounds like the 1102s and the civilian workforce generally in the Army are the ones that are going to need convincing on this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think it necessarily takes convincing. This is something that's already in the works, and it's going to be happening. They announced it. So it's just a matter of getting as close as they can to that 18-month turnaround cycle for IT, because at this point, Mark Milley, this is what he said to me. He said, when you identify a problem in IT, the systems and processes we use will be years before the actual solution by the time we actually get the solution that we need. So you decide on a solution, it's going to take a couple of years to get there. And by the time you get that solution, there's already a new one happening.
And the person who had the problem is retired. We're speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni. And the Air Force just had its State of the Air Force address from Secretary Heather Wilson, and also Chief of Staff General Goldfein spoke. What did they tell us?
Well, they're going in the wrong direction is what they're saying. They have the pilot shortage that they've been worried about and clamoring about. It's gotten a lot of media attention. That was previously at about 1,600 pilots that they were short. Now they're up to 2,000. Now, that's not really a lot. It's about 10% of what they need. They need 20,000 pilots. And but what they're worried about is the future. They want to make sure that training pipeline is saturated. And at this point, it's saturated with recruits, but the people that stay, the retention rate is what the real issue is people are leaving for the high paying jobs in commercial airlines, because airlines want to double their pilots by the next 20 years or so. So it's just a high demand for pilots all around. They also mentioned that if sequestration returns, that the Air Force is literally, quote, going to break. And, you know, they just don't have the money for the weapon systems and the retention and everything that they want to offer. And it's just an issue. And this is a service that has been constantly going through redeployments, working on a lot of different weapon systems. So they have a lot on their plate right now. And the new NDAA is authorizing another 4,000 active duty. That would bring them up to close to 330,000 active duty troops.
Yeah, the NDAA, I think, authorizes 100 new aircraft, and a third of those would be F-35s, which are already underway, and other planes that are already underway. So it's not as if that it's going to stress the industrial base to build a third of as many planes as they ordered in years past. But getting that 4,000 new recruits doesn't sound like a big number in the context of DOD, but to be able to get some pilots or potential pilots out of those 4,000, because only a small percentage of Air Force recruits, enlistees, are really qualified to become pilots. And then once they're qualified, not many of them are good enough to actually do the job. So that 4,000 is a hard number to get to in recruiting. And then whatever number of pilots comes out of that is even more difficult to do.
And you have to remember, I mean, for an F-22 pilot, by the time they're finished their training, that's $1.2 million that the United States government has put into these people. So that's a huge disincentive for the government, you know, at this point to just to lose these people. And the problem is that they are losing them. So a couple of the options that they have at this point to keep people in is they're already turning to retired pilots to come back and kind of use some of these desk jobs that need what's called a rated rank, basically someone that's a pilot. So they're calling on those people to come back. They're increasing bonuses. They're asking Congress for parity to bring people in that can come in as lieutenant colonels instead of coming in all the way as a private and working their way up. You know, there's a million different options. They're also working with industry on, you know, how can they train together instead of just, you know, having a separate pipeline for military training and one for private.
And haven't recent years' cutbacks reduced the amount of time that pilots in the Air Force actually spend in the air?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that the Air Force always says is pilots want to be in the air, and they haven't been able to with as much, at least, and especially with continuing resolutions. I mean, they have to stop the pilot training, you know, 3 months in advance flying hours. And it also, it hurts. You've seen in the past couple of years the amount of, you know, F-22 crashes and things like that on just regular sorties. And that comes through because they're not training enough, and they're not getting out there enough.
Yeah, so if you go to Southwest Airlines, you might be flying a boring plane compared to the Air Force, but every day you are on that next flight to Phoenix or whatever.
That's right, and you're taking home a, you know, $250,000 paycheck at the end of the day, too.
Well, I think that takes actually a while. I think there's very few at that level, and not in some of the startup airlines. But, you know, it's not a bad life. Somebody brings you coffee in the cockpit, which they don't do in the Air Force. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out his coverage at federalnewsradio.com.